Hi, this is Sam Raimi, and you're listening to the CVH podcast.
Yes. You know, the day destroys that's the what night. She said. Night divides the day. Try to run. Good morning. Good morning. Monday, August 15th. My fall has begun here, although it doesn't really feel like the fall. It's for the fall. August 15th is not the fall. It doesn't feel like that. But yeah, we've moved on. A little hard to be back on the road today. I left the family yesterday, and you know, it was harder than it's been probably ever. A lot of tears, and that was hard. That was hard. I'm sure that's going to get worse over time, but I wasn't quite expecting it. Nice to feel loved. You know, just a change. We've been doing this for a long, long time, and everybody knows sort of how to do it, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. But that is the price. That is the price, people. And anybody thinking about going into this, there is a cost. There is a cost. Yeah, we don't need to cry in our beers right now, but that's how it is. First day of school today, we're missing a few students. That's just how that goes. I mean, two problems. One problem, well, it's not a problem. It's the way it's always been. If you want to open a season, if you want to be in the first show of a season, which is a thing, right? If you're opening the season and you're in the opening show, that's a thing. You want to be that. That's a good thing. If you want to open a season, you have to begin work mid to late August for you to get a September opening of the season. You're going to be rehearsing in August. That's the way it is. Now, a problem on top of that. Summer festivals in America, for the most part, end by July. Santa Fe Opera, however, does not, and they're holding two of our principals, and so they're going to have to do some commuting. This is a thing we often have to do, this commute. It's thrown around like it's no big deal, like, oh, they'll just commute. Like, so what's commute? So you're doing a performance in one place, and you're rehearsing in another place. And so because there's enough space between performances, you would go to the next city and rehearse in the off days. It all sounds fine and dandy in theory and should, you know, work. However, what happens is this. It's absolutely exhausting. It's really exhausting. And what ultimately ends up happening is both things suffer. Your performances suffer because you've been traveling nonstop and working between performances, and then rehearsals suck because you're exhausted from having traveled and performing in another city. And it's hard to turn your brain off on one show and turn it on for another show at the same time. And so it's a trick. Some people are better at it than others. You know, when you're dealing in Santa Fe, you have another issue, and that is no major airport. Santa Fe's got a dirt landing strip. I don't know if any of you landed a plane in Santa Fe or been on a plane that's landed in Santa Fe, but you know, the first time I did it was nearly 20 years ago, and it was basically just a dirt strip, and some guy would hand you your suitcase like right off the bottom of the plane. He'd just hand it to you. And then there'd be three taxis. You know, it was like a little farmhouse that pretended to be an airport terminal. And yeah, that was it. You walked to your plane, you walked up into the plane, you walked off the plane. There was no gangway or bridgeway. There was none of that. There's like one ticketing agent for the only airline there is. If you show up, they're basically like, yeah, go ahead. You know, we're not really checking IDs. I'm not sure there's a TSA. At least 20 years ago, I guess there wasn't TSA. That was like pre 9/11. It was just a guy. It was a guy with a wand. And anyway, so that's the problem. The problem is that Santa Fe is off the map. And so you either have to drive to Albuquerque and then get a plane to Chicago, which you should, I think there's a direct flight. But you got to get to Albuquerque, and that's an hour-long drive. Okay, no big deal, except that you need to do it a bunch of times to do this commuting thing we're talking about. And it's just exhausting. And on paper, it looks like, oh, perfect. They'll sing on this day, leave on this day, arrive on that day, and sing perfect rehearsals and then immediately get back and go have a perfect performance. Like, it's a thing where people think it's always going to work, but undoubtedly it doesn't. You start putting that kind of stress on your body, people start getting sick. Performances start going poorly. It's not a great thing. If you can do it once, fine. If you have to do it multiple times, it leads to trouble. At least in my experience. I'm sure this one will go just absolutely swimmingly. Oh, that's the way of it. That's just the way of it. I haven't been back in Chicago. I was here a year ago for Macbeth. And we're going to do some more Verdi. This is Hernani for me. This is a big one. This is big for everybody, really. It takes a cast that almost doesn't exist. You gotta fight hard for these singers. If you want to do Hernani, you gotta roll deep to get the people you want. And this cast is phenomenal. If only everybody could be here. I'm breaking balls because it's my friends, but that's. that's the way of it. People are superstars now. It's so funny. Like, in the early days, no company would ever deal with you needing or not being able to be there on the first day. When you're a young singer and a contract comes your way and they say, we need to begin on September 1st. And you say, oh, my goodness, I'm in this city until September 4th. They just move on. They just go find a singer who could be there on the first day. And then as you become more established and become a bit more needed and desirable, companies start dealing with your lateness. And I think it was Alexander Neef who told me, he said he'd much rather have his favorite singer 3 days late than his second favorite singer on time. And, you know, that makes perfect sense to me. And so, you know, when you get more established, a company will start dealing with your lateness. And I've done it too. You know, I've been one to roll in late too. And I can't stand it because it made me nuts when I was young. I couldn't stand that we were all here ready to work and there were people that just weren't. It just felt like they were too cool for school or too good for us or whatever it was. But, you know, now you realize it's not the singer's fault. It's you know, the company wants them. They're willing to deal with it. And so, you know, it just, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And so that's the way it is today. I'll have a costume fitting right back at it. This is my 18th season at the Lyric Opera of Chicago, which is hard to imagine. It's my 19th role in my 18th season. And that blew my mind the other day. I was thinking about it and just thought, you know, I was a baby when I walked in these doors. I specifically remember the first day very, very well, actually. We were sort of herded along as a group. All the newbies rolled in and we got like ID cards and we had a couple of meetings, meet the boss, we sort of establishing what the schedule was going to be like, and it was really like just a big long meet and greet kind of day. I remember it. I remember it well. I remember how I felt. Not terrified, but certainly not. I wasn't striding with confidence either. And then 18 years goes by, and that's mind blowing to me. 19 roles in 18 years. That's a career. That's a career had. When I think about it, and I think about the places that I've worked and been, this is a home company to me. They let me sing on the stage when I was untested. When all I had was a voice, you know, they didn't know anything about me. Didn't really know what I was capable of. They just heard my voice and thought, okay, let's see how this little role goes. Let's give them that little thing. Let's see how that works. And you know, gave you some trust and some opportunity and let you be in the room with at the time, the heaviest singers out there. I mean, you know, at the time they were the heaviest singers out there. Now I wonder if the young artists see us and think the same thing. Probably not. But we had, you know, my first gig here was just one of the heaviest casts I've ever been a part of and allowed to be around. And we were just babies, man. We were babies. We were so intimidated and respectful and just trying to not get noticed and sit in the corner with our scores. And I see the young artists now. They're not so young, first of all. But secondly, they've got these big iPads. Their scores are on iPads, which I don't trust. I'm showing my age right now. I'm never going to get involved in the iPad score. I think it's a joke. But what it is a tremendous distraction to those covers. We didn't have smartphones when we started. Can you imagine? We had no smartphones. We couldn't check our email and all of our socials and all that. And they didn't exist. And so we just paid attention. Can you imagine? And I'm sure we just got so much more out of it because we were really, really present. I don't know. It was a different time. I know things are well different now. And I shouldn't be the old man who's like, back in my day. But, you know, a little bit. A little bit of that. I can't trust that iPad score. I can't. Even if it never failed and just, you know, didn't shut off when I needed it to be on. Even if that was guaranteed, I don't like it. I like to feel the paper in my hands. I like to have the score in my hands. I like to, you know, I can tell how far along I am in my learning process by how worn down the pages are. I don't know. Maybe that's a silly romantic idea, but also maybe it's a little practical. You know, these scores, they kind of like, it's like a little history book. You know, and I know the kids can write on their scores on the iPads and all that, but I don't know. Whether it was just a little doodle or a little note or a signature, I would have colleagues sign my scores for a while and I've got a used score that some other singer had, or one that was sold from a library that's got the card in the back that says who took it out. You children are never going to understand what that was. I don't know. I have odd romantic ideas about my scores, and I love getting a new one and making it my own and marking it the way I want to see it, and I don't know. That makes me sound super old. Ernani in Chicago. It's good to be back. It was tough to leave, but it's good to be back. And you know, this place makes sense to me. I get it. I know how to walk in. And you know, when I look around the room, there's not a lot of people that have worked there longer than me. There's certainly some, you know, coaching staff and stuff like that, but not too many. And so when I see the guard, that the people that were there a few years older than me, we hug tight. Like we're all just trying to hang on. Oh, man. Our replacements are just staring at us from the corner. They can't wait. Opera is a self-cleaning organism. It decides for us. We don't get to decide. Not too often. Not too often do we get to decide. It gets decided for us. And when we're no longer necessary, somebody else will take the gig. That's the way it is. And so when you're part of the senior staff in the room, there's a camaraderie of hey, we're still here. We're still here. Because the last day will come for all of us, and we don't know. Most of us will not know when it is. And so I'm going to keep singing like it's my last one. I don't know what else to do from this point forward. It's always the last one now. I think that's going to make a better show. I love you for listening. Monday, August 15th. We'll pretend the fall is here, but it's not. I'm working on a new theme song for the show. But I'll wait till September when it actually feels like fall. This is fake fall. Faux fall. Everybody have a great week. We'll see you on Thursday. All right, thanks. Bye. That's where my baby stays.
coming.